We're told by Robert Van Acheren that one fine day, a friendly man who introduced himself modestly as Giorgio Moroder appeared in the office of Enno Patalas, head of the Munich Film Museum. He related that he was a composer and spoke of his interest in writing music scores for silent films, if only he could find the right film. Unaware and overjoyed, for such interest comes rarely, Patalas, believing in the composer's good intentions, spread out the pearls of cinematic art before his guest and suggested he work with the movie Metropolis. With Metropolis, Fritz Lang created an evocative, expressionistic masterwork of silent cinema in the 20s. With a clever coup, Moroder went on to turn film art on its head. Music no longer accompanies the film. The film is degraded to an accompaniment for the sound mix. Moroder uses the classic movie in this way as a vehicle for the lucrative reproduction of his disco music. With this in mind, he has, working with love, but above all moved by commercial instincts, taken various versions of the film and come up with his very own, quote, reconstruction. He did not even take the trouble to run his version at silent speed and thus forces it to unreal on-screen too fast by a third. His hammering synthesizer sound takes care of the rhythm as well as an electronic noise backdrop, orchestrated as if this were a comic film. He embellishes the silent work with 7 songs and without trying, imparts the impression that the projectionist has forgotten to turn off the upbeat intermission music. He spreads airy cloaks of color over the black and white images. In this way, the film is made, in Moroder's mind, palatable to an entire generation as a sort of gigantic feature film-length video clip for the Walkman generation. Sing along with Fritz Lang. Only what we have is no longer the masterpiece that once was. Little remains to discover from Fritz Lang's vision of the future. Words of Robert Van Acheren in the study West German Filmmakers on Film. That's an account of an extreme, a story of how music no longer enhances the experience of viewing a silent film classic, but is a kind of cinematic coup overthrowing and replacing the movie made by Fritz Lang with something else entirely. We understand that history itself has not been especially kind to Metropolis as a physical artifact, and critic Roger Ebert has celebrated a different kind of restoration. He writes, "The opening shots of the restored Metropolis are so crisp and clear that they come as a jolt." This mistreated masterpiece has been seen until now mostly in battered prints, missing footage that was, we now learn, essential. Because of a 16mm print discovered in 2008 in Buenos Aires, it stands before us as more or less the film that Fritz Lang originally made in 1927. It is, says expert David Bordwell, one of the great sacred monsters of the cinema. And we are invited to have an experience of the film with that kind of impact, enhanced by, rather than undercut by, music created for it. The Old Brick Theater in Scranton will present the futuristic German expressionist film by director Fritz Lang with original musical accompaniment created by an ensemble assembled for the occasion: Katie Morell, clarinet, Jason Smeltzer, theremin, Nick Driscoll, woodwinds, and Ron Stabinski, keyboards. And it's this Saturday and Sunday evening. Jason Smeltzer is music director of the event, and he paid a visit to the WVIA studios with a huge gong over his shoulder to talk about the presentation and his own relationship with film viewing.
Notoriously, I don't go to see much of anything, but do have a soft spot for the early guys. There's that, you know, they don't know what they're doing yet. They haven't figured it all out. So that's where there's a certain magic to seeing the effort.
And so how did this project come about?
Out of nowhere, Paige Belitsky of the Old Brick Theater, she one day knew me pretty well. I'd been doing things there, but nothing directly related to theater. And she had asked, Jason, would you like to do a silent film night? We've never done it before. I told her it was the first thing that I've heard that made any sense in a long time. So I said yes. And we decided on Nosferatu. And I really had no idea what I was going to do, but not long, I'd say 2 weeks after that came up, I ran into Ron Stabinski, who I used to do a lot of things with, but he's very busy and travels the world, so I just leave him alone. But I ran into him and he said, I'm doing some weird things and you and I should do some weird things together again. And of course, it didn't occur to me that the weird thing should be Nosferatu, but an hour passed and I was like, if Ron can participate in this, all my problems are solved. Ron is just the most magnificent, easygoing, any genre pianist that you could hope for. Shortly after realizing that that was going to happen, that Ron and I would be a duo, I realized that to an audience not familiar with Ron and I, that could be challenging. So, we know this crazy clarinet doctorate. Very classical, likes to read things. So, we needed a female element. And so, the whole platform for what makes this different than just improvising over a silent film is that with Katie, there was a process that I got from a composer by the name of Steve Reich, minimalist composer, still living. A couple of his pieces involve interviews. He will interview people from different lines of work or backgrounds, and then he'll take the most interesting parts and actually compose note for note based on their speech patterns, which I always wanted an excuse to do. So that's what I did. I narrated the dialogue, transcribed it for clarinet. And the interesting thing you learn from that is that the ideas are very simple, but the key changes are unforgivable. There is no way you could legitimize all the key changes every time everything's said, and they don't make any sense. It'll stay here for a while to go here. It's always trying to prove something. So basically, Ron has the clarinet part, can prepare musically. It's all improv on Ron's part and my part, but we have the roadmap based on the clarinet part.
The instrument with which you are most associated is the theremin.
Correct.
Is that going to be your primary instrument?
Even worse. It will be a two-theremin spectacle. It actually involves doorbell manipulation, which doesn't help describe how you go about it, but basically there's a right-hand theremin and a left-hand theremin, somewhat percussive, somewhat musically more like sculpting based on whatever everyone else is doing. This is the first time I've done the two theremin thing in a couple of years.
But it seemed apt here.
Had to be done. Totally Metropolis.
Why is this Metropolis and not Nosferatu?
Nosferatu is a little bit too organic. Also, the following year after Nosferatu, we did Faust. Same director. Fabulous. Lesser known work. Partly because the Germans panned it because they didn't follow the Goethe. So it kind of like disappeared, but it's an amazing piece. And then the following year came Metropolis, which is very high-tech, very industrial, very futuristic. It's surprising that the original score didn't have a theremin, because it did exist, actually, at the time. It had been around for a little while.
What's the premise of Metropolis?
There seems to be a lot of them, but basically it's the struggle, working class against upper class, technology versus humanity, a lot of revelation, a lot of biblical things. There's a reference to Moloch, a sacrificial deity, often associated with sacrificing for the sake of gain.
Does it feature actors whose careers went on?
Actually, most of the actors, this was right before Hitler. So basically, I know Bridget Helm plays the main character, basically the two main characters. I know she kind of departed from it, and I believe the mad scientist, Rotwang, I think he got into some trouble too. And then Fritz Lang, the director Fritz Lang, he was contacted by the Nazi party. Very, very interesting, because he has some Jewish elements, but they liked his work. And basically, I forget exactly who he was required to meet with. And he pointed this out. He said, just so you know, I am maybe one quarter Jewish. And the response was, we decide who is Aryan. But I believe after that he fled to America. I think that's how that went.
Have you all gathered together to screen the movie? Have you watched it individually? How do you prepare to go improvise?
Well, this is the best part. Musically, we have an all-star cast. We have Ron Stabinski bringing three keyboard things. We have Nick Driscoll, who's mainly a woodwind all-star, but he's bringing, he claims it's not a drum machine, but then calls it a drum machine. Fretless bass, he mentioned. We often get him on never before seen things. And then Katie is playing the dialogue on clarinet and bass clarinet. And of course, myself on gongs and theremin and some narration as well. Nick is always an interesting one there. Like when I present this to him, he always goes into the zone of, I forget exactly how he describes it, but just like a sound world, I believe he put. Like he's not even thinking of what he's going to play. He starts thinking about, like when we did Faust, he heard accordion. And Nick has never been seen before on accordion, but accordion was it. And it just put it on a different scale, just that element alone. But I like that everyone kind of takes it and runs with it. Like that's why we have that cast. It's like I don't have to worry about them at all. I was joking just yesterday that I was graphing it out where we stood with it. And even having, I claimed that I had seen the film 717 times, which is the number that comes up from time to time. Katie has seen it one time. Nick has seen it halfway through and it freaked him out. And Ron has never seen it at all. So I think that's perfect. I think that's, if you knew the cast of characters, that's the way it should be.
You have before you a binder that is marked Metropolis, and there are some musical staves there. Take us through that.
Essentially, this is our roadmap. This is Katie's part, the C version of it. And basically, no rhythms are given, but as you might notice, like key change after key change. I was talking about Moloch, since there's a point where the name Moloch comes on the screen, and it's not like a household name or anything like that. So there's a nice piece from Dante's Paradise Lost. So I'm going to throw that in there just to help everybody out a little bit. And the rest of the score has little pictures of theremins to help me see where I'm going and when I can take a break. It's almost written out like a play.
Yes, I love the illustrations. Oh, there's a gong.
There's a gong. King George. There will be three gongs present as well, but King George is the special one.
You happen to bring with you King George. That sounds like a perfect addition to the musical soundscape that you're creating. I'm not good at dimensions, but that's about what?
I would say it's almost 3 feet tall, but it's also like a bowl. It's about a foot deep and don't have a stand for it. So it'll be, basically I will march out when appropriate and make a spectacle of King George. Which is a gift from a conductor friend of mine, Ray Stedenfeld. He felt that if anybody, I would find a good use for it.
And you've used it in Chinese New Year's celebrations?
The only time I ever took it out that it seemed like a legit application was had a few Chinese New Year's celebrations. It's been a while. It's been over a year since we've taken King George because it doesn't fit very easily.
Is there any story behind King George's name?
Well, two interesting stories. We have a bookkeeper where I work who just names things, just things, usually associated with, could either be a food or a thing. But oddly enough, in Poland, my nickname is Król Jerzy Bezdarna, which is King George the Senseless. No connection. It's just King George.
King George will not be alone.
No, I tend to bring gongs to these. Anyway, theremin and gong seems to be a nice contrast. You don't want too much of either. goes well with the narration, too.
Now, the Old Brick Theater is an intimate space. Mm-hmm. So that's going to resonate round the room.
That'll be a spectacle, yeah.
How do you all position yourselves around the screen?
It varies, and we haven't tried it yet for this one, but previously we basically all were at the right. I forget how stage left and stage right works. I always get it backwards, but the screen will be on the left side of the audience, and we will be all mounted up in a mound of instruments and gongs and terrible, terrible things somehow.
What are the rewarding things for you as a musician when you engage in something like this?
That is an interesting question. There's a lot of nice side effects, like something that all of us like to do, especially the improvisers, Nick, Ron, and myself. When we have an opportunity, we like to take it out as far as we can, which is not for everybody. The nice thing about having a visual thing to follow is that it legitimizes when and when not. You can go a lot farther and keep an audience that's not completely out of their mind or analytical. Like a lot of times the audience for music like that is very particular, whereas this can be for everybody.
As you've gone through 717 times, is there a scene that particularly catches your attention or grabs you on some level?
There's a lot of levels of magic. Maybe not even necessarily scenes in of themselves, but some of the special effects for the time period. You can't help but to wonder how they did it. A lot of mirrors, a lot of very architectural situations with mirrors and things being removed from mirrors and things happening far away and then projected into a mirror that then looks like it's on the screen. Also, I remember reading that there's an opening scene with very illustrative of the title Metropolis, and there's these spotlights. And that was done by erasing parts of the illustration. It's crazy. But those in and of themselves, even when there's nothing happening but they're making use of that, is you could just watch that. As far as scenes, the main one is there's a transformation where a robot comes in, and it's gourmet, just gourmet. A lot of severity, and this is still the same, different director, but the same studio, the same company, essentially, that did Nosferatu. And it almost begins with occult mentality, so then it sort of transfers into futuristic with little threads to that. And actually, relative to the musical element, it's probably as close to an exorcism as you're going to get, and two theremins.
Is this something people might say, I want to do something special because the Halloween holiday is upon us. Let's go to see Metropolis.
That's definitely part of the show. It's also another trick to legitimize us being a little weirder than you would normally get away with.
Do you dress the part?
I always think about it, but usually I have too much going on to really do it. But we've always mentioned, you know, if anyone in the audience would like to dress up, by all means. Maybe we'll even have a contest or something like that.
And when can we see it?
And this will be this coming Saturday and Sunday. So there'll be two improvisational things happening, and there may be no connection to either one musically. Saturday and Sunday, October 27th and 28th, starting at 7 o'clock at the Old Brick Theater. And it's a little place. It seats about 60, so you might want to get there a little bit on the early side just to be safe. Very tickled. The first two we did, we were on our own, but this year for Metropolis and maybe some forthcoming things, we got a grant from the Lackawanna County. So yeah, that makes us feel like we're on the right track.
Will you play us out, as they say? Jason Smeltzer, music director of this weekend's screening of the classic 1927 silent film Metropolis by Fritz Lang, with original musical accompaniment that Jason Smeltzer assembled for the event, featuring Katie Morell, clarinet, bass clarinet, Jason Smeltzer, theremin and gong, the gong we just heard, and others, Nick Driscoll, woodwinds and more, and Ron Stabinski, keyboards of varying sorts. It's Saturday and Sunday, October 27th and 28th at 7 in the evening at the Old Brick Theater, 126 West Market Street in Scranton. That's Saturday and Sunday, October 27th and 28th at 7 at the Old Brick Theater, 126 West Market Street in Scranton. Original musical accompaniment to the classic 1927 silent film Metropolis, provided by Jason Smeltzer, Katie Morrell, Nick Driscoll, and the pianist here, Ron Stabinski.